Praise God. We're going to continue our discussion today on the topic, does Satan exist? This will be our third installment on this sort of mini-series, series within a series. Does Satan exist? It's kind of ironic that it's coming up. This really wasn't planned out earlier. It just sort of fell into place this way. But with as Dave was saying, October 31st coming up, and so much darkness out there, you know, you just walk into the store, and we were saying the other day they have like demon treats, and you know, the undead standing there greeting you at the produce counter, and kind of timely stuff. But earlier this year, in March of this year, ABC Nightline, as most of you know, hosted a debate on this topic, does Satan exist? And they had two Christians versus two non-believers. The two Christians were Andy Lobear and Pastor Mark Driscoll, and they were pitted up against the New Age author Deepak Chopra and Carlton Pearson, who used to be Carmen's pastor, and he's since changed his views on a lot of things. We're going to hear a lot from him today. And we've been using clips, video clips from this debate as a springboard for our discussion to really talk about and understand and answer the question, does Satan exist? What do you guys think? Okay, pretty much everybody's on the same page. Of course, as you go out there, you'll encounter people who have all kinds of ideas about that and really have not a whole lot to base their ideas on. And so in this third segment of the series, let me just lay a little background. Last week we looked at three ways of proving that Satan exists. And we said that you can refer to authority, you can refer to evidence, and you can refer to experience. We said by authority. If you want to understand something, the basic, most simplest way to do it is to go to an expert. Ask somebody who knows. If you've got a pain in your side and it's been bothering you and it won't go away and it's really hampering your life, you know, you don't go to a waitress. You don't go to a bartender. Well, some people might go to a bartender. I got this pain in my side. I don't know what's going on. But generally, if you have a medical problem, you should go to a medical expert. You should go to a doctor, of course. If you've got a problem with your car and your car won't start or it's giving you problems, it's sputtering and stalling out and giving you all kinds of grief, you don't go to a doctor for that situation. You would go to a
Dave.
You would go to a Dave. You would go to Dave's transmission on Dool and Clark Road in Centerville. Who can meet all your automotive needs? You go to a mechanic because a mechanic understands the problem. He knows what he's talking about. He's been trained. He deals with it every day. He has the expertise. And so if you want to know about a spirit being, you would go to an expert. You wouldn't go to a scientist who only measures things that you can physically touch. You would go to someone who knows what he's talking about, and we submitted that you would therefore ought to go to Jesus Christ. He is the one who created, who through whom all things were created, for whom all things were created. He is the one who defeated Satan, who conquered him on the cross, who rose from the dead to conquer sin and death. And so if you want to know about Satan, the only person I could recommend to you would be our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, the ultimate expert on the subject. So we had authority, we had evidence. You know, some people say, well, all those people in the Bible that had demons, they were just psychological problems they were dealing with. But when you look at the evidence, when you look at the historic account, what does the Bible actually say happened? We see that it does not fit within the parameters of a simple psychological experience. We said, we noted the fact that the man that was possessed of demons in the Gadarenes, when Christ cast those demons out of him, where did they go? Into a herd of pigs. And what happened to the pigs? Swine flu. They jumped off the cliff. That cannot be psychologically explained. Jesus wasn't giving hypnotic suggestions to the pigs. He wasn't speaking in pig Latin. He simply cast out the demon with the command, and that ensuing event does not fit the parameters of a psychological experience. It was a spiritual power encounter. I have no idea what they're saying back there, but you ought to put it on the tape so I can get a laugh too. I'll probably listen to this again and just hear it myself and be embarrassed. Well, whatever I said, take it with a grain of salt. So you have authority, you have evidence, you have experience. People who have been delivered from demonic oppression. And let me just say this, let me just throw this in here. You know, there's a debate, well, can a Christian be possessed, or, you know, how, what kind of an experience does a Christian have if they're being under attack by a demon? You know, in Scripture, you don't really see the words possessed or obsessed or things like that, or oppressed or things. What you see is a word that basically means demonized. And it's a general word that talks in very general terms. When a person is demonized, yes, in an unbeliever, they can be literally possessed and inhabited by those spirits. Now, a Christian has the Holy Spirit indwelling them, and he is not going to allow other spirits to dwell inside of him with them, but they can certainly come under demonic attack, especially if they are not walking a path of integrity with the Lord. And so that person can be oppressed by the devil. And so we use that term that we find in Scripture, which basically means demonized or under demonic attack of some sort, whether it's possession or oppression. Really doesn't matter when we're talking about this question, does Satan exist? But people have been delivered from demonic oppression, demonic possession, and you can ask them to get their firsthand experiences. In fact, we're going to see a little bit of that today. Authority, evidence, and experience. Now, that was the last session. In the session prior to that, we basically looked at the overview of what the Bible talks about when it speaks about Satan. And Father, because I know how the enemy works, I just want to pray that if he tries to intervene in what you are doing in our church today, I pray right now that you would just hedge him out, Lord, that you would bind him by your power, that he has no authority here, he has no place here. And Lord, I pray that you would prevent him from clouding up anybody's thoughts or speech, Lord, or anybody's understanding. I pray that you would have your way in this place today. And we identified Satan as an archangel created by God. He was originally good. His name was Lucifer, which meant the light bearer. He was a glorious angel. Some feel that he even led worship in heaven by virtue of his musical abilities. Yet he rebelled against God. A third of the angels sided with him in a rebellion against God. In fact, our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, all of mankind at that point, rebelled against God under his influence. And Jesus referred to Satan as a thief in John 10:10. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And Jesus said, "I have come so they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Amen. Now, in that segment, when we laid that foundation, we heard the testimony of a woman named Annie Lobert, who was a former prostitute. She got saved by Jesus Christ. She was delivered from demonic possession and attack. She was delivered from suicide. And you're going to get to hear that testimony today, because the guy I want to focus on, Carlton Pearson, we're going to hear his opening statement in this debate, but in order to get to him, you have to go through her. So you'll get to hear that testimony again today. That's okay, because it's a very moving testimony. I could listen to it over and over. But Carlton Pearson is a pastor. He was a very prominent, successful Pentecostal pastor a number of years ago. As I said, for those of you familiar with Carmen, he was Carmen's pastor. He had a church of about 5,000 members. He had been nominated for 2 Dove Awards as a gospel singer. He met with all kinds of heads of state and celebrities, and he was very well known. And somewhere along the line, he decided he didn't believe in hell anymore. He said, "Well, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, why God would create a place like hell." And pretty soon he really didn't believe that the Bible was the infallible word of God anymore. He didn't really believe in demons anymore. And it's just down the slippery slope. Now he's just way out in the fringe and some universalism type stuff. Just a tragic story. But he says he no longer believes in demons. He says that people just invent them in their minds. And we're going to examine, after we hear his testimony, we're going to examine some of the things that he says and see if they hold up and stand the test of scrutiny. Because some of the most celebrated people are also some of the most bankrupt people when it comes to the things that they should have knowledge about. As I've listened to these tapes over and over and heard his testimony, I'm shocked that he ever achieved such status, because he makes statements in there that any first-year Bible student in a seminary would be shocked at his lack of knowledge. How he ever ascended to this place of prominence and power and position is beyond me, because he never would have gotten through his first year of Bible college at some of the colleges that I'm familiar with. He's just way off base on some of the things he assumes and presumes. But anyway, you're going to get a chance to hear him, and we're going to examine his testimony. So without further ado, Tom, if you want to go ahead and roll that clip, you'll first hear Annie Laubert.